Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, and you know that I am coming to you live with lots of love and just a little touch of southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today from all over the world. And my declaration over your life is that your best years and times are ahead of you. I want you to believe that today. Well, thank you for joining me again. It is a beautiful day here in Atlanta. How are you doing? I know that you're doing well because I am receiving just wonderful emails from all of you from all over the world. And my prayer today for you is that you are making a daily decision not to let your negative circumstances rule your life, but you are learning to be happy and grateful now and to look expectantly towards your bright future. Well, today's show is pre-recorded as I am currently in California on my way to Baja, Mexico on the cruise to transformation with the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and I can't wait to tell you all about it when I return. Well, today's show is designed especially for women. My guest is Sandra Clements, who is an expert in the area of women being empowered and walking in their purpose and destiny. So I want you to call your girlfriends, your mothers, your female coworkers, or any woman who you know who wants to go to the next level in her life. Now, you might be one of my male listeners, and you might say, Constance, I am not going to listen to your show today. Well, you need to listen because if you are in a relationship or if you are married, this show will give you a clear understanding of who we are as women and why we do what we do. So all of my male listeners, I want you to certainly stay tuned. But before I introduce Sandra, I want to remind you again about some of the wonderful products that I have designed, especially with you in mind. You know, I'm very prayerful over each product that I design, and God specifically spoke to me and said that he wanted me to design simple tools that you could begin to utilize in your life that would bring about permanent change. So, first of all, I want to talk to you about my coaching products. I have certain coaching products such as business and executive coaching. Maybe if you're in a business, that might would apply to you. Relationship coaching. You know that I've been a licensed therapist for 25 years, and probably for the first 5 years of my career, I was a marriage and family therapist. And you can coach with me for a year. And my guarantee is that if your life does not radically change when you coach with me, I will refund your money. I always say if you are willing to do the work, you will not recognize yourself or your life at the end of this year. So visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com and click on my products page. So ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? My guest today is, as I said earlier, Mrs. Sandra Clements. Sandra is the author of two books. She's a minister and a powerful speaker. She is the author of Her Name is Mother, and her other book, which she co-authored with her husband, is And He Gave Them. I believe that in many ways she is a trailblazer empowering the dignity of women and really celebrating their various roles. Sandra, along with her husband, Dr. Kirby Clements, by the way, you might remember him. He was on my show earlier, and people are just still raving about all of the wonderful wisdom that they received from him. The both of them founded the Clements Family Ministries in 1994 to provide Bible-based ministry seminars, workshops, and books with provocative words of wisdom that can be easily understood. For more than 20 years, she has worked with her husband as an entrepreneur, and I think last week she just celebrated 45 years of marriage with her husband. Isn't that remarkable? And just personally, I really connect with Sandra. I love being in her presence. I'm really in awe of her, knowledge. She's so smart. I always tell her that. And her passion for helping others. But really, her devotion to God is what really moves me. And we're so blessed to have her today on the show. So, Sandra Clements, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Constance. I am so delighted to be here tonight.
Well, tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are.
Well, as you indicated, my husband and I co-labor together in almost every area. We are entrepreneurs, as you indicated, and I am the office manager. Have been that office manager since 1983 in his business. He's a doctor. He's a dentist. And so I make sure that, you know, patients are in and that patients pay us. And we that's important. We have to eat. And we've co-labored in ministry since 1977, I would say, when we felt the call of the Lord to be in a more formalized situation. We've always been a Christian, and we've always been a part of the church. But in terms of being a part of the church, in terms of leadership, 1977, that just strikes a very strong chord in my mind. I'm a mother of two children. Both are professionals. My son is married to a professional where they're lawyers, and my son's wife is a doctor. She's a podiatrist. And my daughter's husband is IT, you know, it's information technologies. And together with my daughter's husband, plus my children having children, we've got six grandchildren.
Oh.
We've got a 15-year-old for my son, a 10-year-old, and then my daughter's husband brought three children to the table. So we include those, and then she's pregnant with her first. And I know the women are going to be shocked when they hear this. She's 40 years old having her first baby. And it's just wonderful to know that and to see the miraculous working power of God in her life during this pregnancy. She is. The doctor was just amazed at the fact that she could conceive when she did, and without any drugs or anything, fertility drugs, she just conceived. And we know she's having a boy, so we'll have two grandsons and four granddaughters. So we're excited about that. And the fact that we've done a lot of international travel, Australia, Europe, Central and South America, the Caribbean, Canada, all over, and just teaching this passion that God has given me in reference to women and co-laborship and the sensuality of the woman that God put into the earth. I'm excited about that. I love to see women's lives transform. I love to see them come forth from little buds of fear to strong, powerful women of confidence, positive self-esteem, and self-assurance. I love seeing that, and I think that's about it. And I just have mentored several young women for many years. I've been mentoring these women for many years. I used to teach high school social studies, and I worked for the government when I was in my 30s. I worked for USAID, dealt with, you know, population and developing nations, and that was fun. And so I think and I was an in-hospital patient educator, and I just think all that experience and that diversity has probably enabled me to be able to embrace all people despite, you know, their ethnicity, despite their geographic persuasion. I can embrace these people with a lot of compassion and love, and not feel, they not feel alienated from me and I from them, because, you know, I'm an American. So that's probably, those are my probably my strong suits.
Right. Well, you know, I'm so excited about the show tonight, Sandra, because you and I both are so passionate about women and why we were placed here on earth, what our roles are, our passions, and what our responsibilities are. And I believe that because of your extensive travel and your exposure to so many other cultures, to literally women from all over the world, I just love the way you shed light on this great subject. So let's get started. My first question to you, Sandra, is why did God create a woman?
Well, actually, God created it. And it was both male and female. It had the male part and the female part. And we've been taught historically that God created woman to help man out, but God created it, which didn't have any sexual distinctions, until God separated them, and then you get the woman and you get the man. And the woman and the man together can procreate, but God called this woman, when he defined her as helper, like Holy Spirit help, you know, the divine help, that kind of help. And then in that definition of what he called her, which was the Ezer, it meant that she was strong, courageous, that she was self-sufficient, and that she was a rescuer and a savior. So God put a lot in terms of definition into this woman that he created. She was not God's afterthought. In fact, when God created in the beginning, he created them both at the same time. She was not created second. They were created at the same time. They were formed at the same time. And then they were separated into the male and the female. You get Ish, the male, and Isha, the woman. And woman means human with womb, just like man means human or Adam. Woman is human with womb, and woman is of the same substance and essence as the man, for people who think that we're lesser beings, because that's one of the lies that's been taught, that women are inferior or lesser beings. But we're the same substance, given the same command by God in the beginning, to be fruitful, to multiply, to take dominion, to subdue. We have the same value. We have the same privileges, we have the same responsibility, and we have the same authority. So woman isn't something special or something different. Woman was as much in the heart of God as the man was in the heart of God. So for those women out there who've been taught or who believe that we are inferior beings and that we are destined to serve men or our husbands, understand that's not why God created us. In fact, when you look in the Genesis story, and I'm using the Christian Bible, when you look in the Genesis story, you're led to believe that God created the woman as a girl Friday. And when the Bible was translated, particularly under King James, they used the word to define her as Sukkur, which means help or aid, like a good girl Friday. But when you look at the Hebrew definition, it meant that she was the same as, equal to. So we need to dispel that myth that, you know, we're something different, that we're something that was God's afterthought or his oops. We were always in the heart of God as being essential, as being valuable, and as having privilege, responsibility, authority, and we are in the image of God, like the male.
You know, that is so interesting. You briefly mentioned a submission, and you know, Sandra, in so many cultures, women are taught that they have to be submissive, and that's sort of been a negative connotation with that. What does submission mean, and should a woman submit? If she doesn't submit, does that mean that she's in rebellion? Talk about women and submission.
Well, that whole concept of women and submission is really something that's very patriarchal, because women were viewed as being lesser beings or not being in the image of God. And they, and that's a contemporary definition of one that most women hear. The contemporary definition is that we have no part in the matter. In fact, it's forced upon us. But the word submit means that you attach yourself to another person as to make meaning. It doesn't mean that you, it's not a governmental term, it's a relational term. When people say that they are submitted to me, that means that they joined me in whatever pursuit I'm in to help me to do it better, or I'm to help them to do it better. But I'm not to issue out orders to them as if they have no will, as if they have no desires. It's mutual respect. But the word submit has always been used in reference to women. But the Bible says we have to be submitted one to the other in terms of attaching oneself to as to make meaning, helping one another. All that submission has, that word has caused pain and anguish to so many, particularly women, because every time you hear the word submit, it's always in reference to a woman. It's rarely in reference to a man, because the culture has impacted the way we think. Customs have impacted the way we think, the traditions of men, denominationalism, and a lack of proper understanding of the root words, or when the word was first used. When Paul uses the word submit in the New Testament, he uses the word kapale, and that's a totally different concept. It hasn't anything to do with someone ruling over you. That's not in the heart of God, because when God gave man and woman, or gave human in the beginning, when he gave them the command to be fruitful, multiply, and to subdue, to take dominion, they were always to take dominion over the created order, animals and the land. He never told them to take rule over one another. The implication was that they were to work together as one.
So how can a woman be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over what? Over her circumstances, over her emotions? What are we supposed to be taking dominion over? And in what ways are we supposed to be fruitful?
Well, we can be fruitful in many ways. We can be fruitful with our hands if we've been given gifts and calling. I would call you being fruitful in that you are in pursuit of excellence. You are dispensing information. You are encouraging people. That's fruitfulness.
Yes.
You talked about your tools that you can, that people can use in your coaching. That's fruitfulness. You put that together and you have it available for those who want it. You take dominion in so many ways. You take dominion over your thoughts. When your thoughts begin to devalue you, begin to make you feel ashamed, when your thoughts put fear in you, when your thoughts make you have panic attacks, you take dominion over that by telling your mind how to think positively and how to think based on principles. You know, it's interesting. Fear is a big word that I talk about, because we know that fear came into the earth, according to the Christian Bible, after the transgression, after the male and the female, the woman, the human woman and the human man, or the human Adam and the human Adam, which was male and female, it came into the earth after they disobeyed God. Fear. If you look into the New Testament, the word fear means cowardice, and that means to run away or leave your estate, which is what they did. Here they are, these two beings, they're there with God, having everything at their disposal, with one thing saying, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they disobeyed that by listening to a contrary voice. And they left their heavenly estate, if you please, and went to a lower estate. And sometimes out of fear, people, women in particular, they make bad decisions or they think bad thoughts about themselves, and they fail to take dominion. Because when you take dominion, that means that you rule the situation. Now, I'm not talking about being harsh and abrasive,
right,
or caustic. I'm saying you let the situation I'm going to use the word submit in a contemporary way. Submit to you. You tell it to yield to you as opposed to you yielding to it. And you flip it with your children and that you teach them principles on how to live. You teach them godly principles. You encourage them with positive affirmation. You are honest with them. You provide discipline not to destroy them, but discipline to direct them so that they can begin to learn to take dominion. You know, a lot of people are overweight because they haven't disciplined their bodies on the right food to eat, so they haven't taken dominion just over their appetite. You understand? That's what I mean by being fruitful, about taking dominion.
Oh, that's very powerful, you know. And speaking of losing weight, you know, let's talk about women and self-esteem, self-concept, and self-image. You know, Sandra, we have so many images that tell us what we should be as women, what we should look like. So how can a woman begin to value herself? How can she really begin to feel great about herself and really change how she sees herself?
Well, the first thing she's got to do is change her core belief system about her value. In other words, if you don't feel that you are valuable or that you are worthy just on the fact that you are alive on the planet, then anyone can come and tell you who you are, what you are, and how you are. And what a woman needs to do is look into her value system, look into her core belief system. Do I believe that I'm inferior as a woman? Do I believe that I was just put on this earth to help other people in terms of I got to take care of the children, I got to take care of the mother when she's old and the father? Or was I put on this earth to be equipped to do the things that I have in me to do? Sure, we take care of our parents. I'm not negating that. But sometimes when you have brothers and sisters or just brothers, or you have a husband who has a mother or father, they put that on you because that's called grunt work. And remember I told you the old English concept of female was secure, which meant she did the grunt work. She was the girlfriend. She did what nobody else wants to do. And if you think as a woman that's your role, that's your core belief, because someone that you respected and had authority in your life told you that, then you've got to bring that core belief to an ending. You've got to say enough of this because this only produces pain, anguish, and sorrow in me. And then you need to begin to discover what God has said about you, that you were of the same substance, that you have responsibility, you have privilege, that you are worthy, that you are capable, that you are strong, and it's okay to be strong as a woman. It's perfectly fine to be strong, and it's all right to be aggressive when you know how to be aggressive. Not aggressive just for the sake of shaking your head and putting your hands on your feet or talking loud. No, aggressive when you know when to move forward, when not to move forward. If your core belief system is that your husband or any man that's in your life, brother, father, uncle, pastor, if it's a male, that they serve as your priest because you can't approach God, then, see, that's a core belief system that you've got to uncover. You've got to say, I got to believe that because God did create me, and he had, when he said it about his creation, the creation of the man and the woman, he said it was good, and he also said it was blessed. You've got to put that inside your mind because you got. It says as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So you've got to think that, and then you've got to put it in your heart, and then you've got to begin to walk it out. If people say, you can't say no to me if I ask you to do something because you're a woman, you say, I can say no. That's my right, and that's my privilege. And if I don't want to do it, if I don't feel it's something I can do, or even if I just don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to feel bad that you're upset with me because that's something you've got to get over. And you're not being mean. You're just saying, I'm taking responsibility. What affects me?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because I know that your husband, Dr. Kirby Clemens, is very powerful, and you're very powerful. So how do the two of you come together, and how have you managed to work together almost on a daily basis, and you still walk in the greatness of who you are as a woman?
Well, first of all, we have what's called functional distinctions. I know what my strengths are. I'm good at organizing. I'm good at planning, forecasting out, and managing.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Clements, when it comes in the workforce, he's good at producing. He gets in, he takes care of the patients, and then I organize the thing in order for him to take care of the patients. When it comes to the church, I'm more the organizer. I know what should be done, when, where, and how. He's the one that we go to and we get. What do you think about this? This is a good idea, because sometimes we get so excited we may be overshooting ourselves or moving too quickly. So we know that his strength is wisdom. His strength is caution. His strength is safety. So we have to respect that. Sometimes we don't want to do it, but, he has a track record. And then when it comes to forecasting out and planning, I have a track record. So we've lived together long enough to know what each other's strength is and what each other's, I'm not going to say weakness is, but lack of gifting is. He can plan, he can organize, but he struggles with it. I don't,
right.
And so we know that. And so it's like iron sharpening iron. Is it always easy? No, because you got two people who are thinking, two people who have opinions on it. But I always say, whose opinion looks more like God? And he says the same thing. And sometimes when we're having to make a decision and we are not together on it, we just don't do anything. We just wait, because we know if we wait, we're going to get the right answer. And that respecting and that yielding, that's essential. For example, in the office, I deal with the organization and the money. And I say to Dr. Clements, "Now, don't cross over into my territory." He said, "Your territory?" I said, "No, because when it comes to people paying me, they come to you because they feel you have more compassion. I'm business. I'm not dealing in compassion when you've done all this work and they don't want to pay you. I'm
right.
dealing with, we provide a service, we need you to pay us." And so he backs off on that area. And sometimes he'll say, "This is a no charge on this patient." Well, because I respect that decision, I'll say, okay. But if he's saying to somebody that just comes in, "It's a no charge," and I say, "Oh, no, it's not a no charge, because you took up 45 minutes talking to them, and our time is money." And he doesn't get upset with me about that. He'll just say, okay, because we learn how to work back and forth. And, it's always a back and forth, and we can't get mad about it if we don't get upset or get angry. I used to get angry because I'm just so forthright, but I had to get the mastery over me, saying, "What has anger got to do with what you're doing? Nothing. Okay, get control of that, take dominion over that," and that's what I've done. So that's how we kind of work it, And I always ask him, "What do you think?" And he always asks me, "What do you think?"
Wow, and that's why you've been together for 45 years, where if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Sandra Clements, and we're talking about principles for women where they can go to the next level in their lives. So, Sandra, let's talk about women and prayer. When a woman prays, it's very powerful. So for my listeners all over the world, some who may not be Christians, how can a woman begin to pray on a daily basis about her career, maybe her health, her children, her husband?
Well, let me just say this. I don't think it matters whether or not you're a woman or a man about your prayers. I really don't, because God hears the prayers of the righteous. God hears all of our prayers, and I know that there are books that have been written about, when you've got a praying mother, as if God is looking at the fact that she's a woman, or you got a praying father. God looks at people who pray, period, male or female. Now, a woman, for me, for example, when I was a younger woman in my 30s and in my 40s, I prayed about everything that had to do with family, friends, and folks. For example, when I came back to Atlanta, I didn't know whether or not my brothers and sisters were saved.
Mm-hmm.
That meant whether or not they accepted Jesus Christ as their risen Lord and Savior. And
I just would stand in my house and I would call their names before the Lord and ask God to send the Holy Spirit to move on them. You know, because it says none can come unless they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. Well, I exercised that word in Scripture. And at the time, I was believing, because I had been taught about demonic powers, I would say, devil, release my family. Well, I don't do that anymore because I've matured, and I'm not saying that there's not a devil. I'm just saying I don't participate in it. I just believe so in the power of God and the positive power of God that I just let that go. But I prayed about careers for my children. I prayed about finances for them to go to school. I asked God to provide for them to go to school. I prayed about brothers and sisters, their children. I didn't have any special kind of ritual. I would talk to God like I'm talking to you on this broadcast. I didn't have any special mantra because I was taught initially that we had to go to the same place every day to meet the Spirit, and I was trying to do that, and I'd go to sleep. And so the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I could pray without speaking. I could pray in my mind. I could pray speaking out loud. I would pray anywhere I found myself praying about whatever. I mean, I would ask the Spirit of God. I would say, tell me what you want me to pray about and for. And I just did that. If I see families who appear to be having a hard time, I would begin to ask God to send provisions to those families, to send them information, to send people to them to help them, to open their minds that they could be creative. Because I didn't want to be just about me and my forward no more, because I thought that was very selfish. And, yeah, I pray for my children daily, still do. My husband, still do daily. I pray for you, Constance. I pray for what God is doing through you.
Thank you.
I just think that when you open your heart and open your mind, you'll begin to talk to God. Because, first of all, you got to believe there is a God. You'll begin to talk to God about the things that he puts into your heart and the things that you see. So often when we're driving down the street and I see homeless people, I ask God to send people to them. And some people say, if you don't pray that prayer, I'd be willing to go to them. What I've learned is everybody has a mission in life. Everybody has a mission. And I know what my mission is. And I stick with my mission. Because if I stick with my mission, the people I'm praying for are going to stick with their mission. There are people God has put that kind of benevolence in where they go into other countries and they're missionaries and they sacrifice their life for doing that. God didn't call me to that. And I'm very clear on that, and I don't get any kind of guilt about, well, you know, you haven't gone out and done street ministry. I can't. My mother was benevolent like that. She takes all sorts of people into our house when we were growing up because they needed help. But that was her mission and her journey. It's not mine.
Right.
And, you know, just like my kids are lawyers. I didn't go to law school. They did because that wasn't my mission in life.
And so a woman can just, during the day, as she's driving, as she's maybe taking her children to school, she can just whisper a prayer to God. I think so many women are so busy, they feel that they don't have time for prayer. And I think just explained, and my listeners all over the world will be able to just pray all of the time. That's great information.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, we have access to God 24/7, nonstop.
That's true. So, Sandra, I have so many questions I want to ask you. Let's talk about how does a woman really deal with tough times? I know that you've gone through some tough times recently. Share with our listeners, what did you do to overcome that? So many women are experiencing so many different things, maybe a loss of a relationship, maybe they've been downsized, maybe they've gone through a divorce, maybe there are some health issues. So how does a woman deal with tough times? What did you do personally?
Well, my tough times have been primarily my health issue. I recently, 8 months ago, had open-heart surgery with 2 bypass, a valve replacement, and I was down for 3 months in terms of recovery. And that was something that was very traumatic for me physically and emotionally.
And what I did with that was I had to recognize, first of all, that I had to have the surgery, which was very traumatic. Secondly, once I got out of intensive care, and they woke me up first and I got out of intensive care, just accepting the day-to-day healing process of someone else having to care for me, accepting that and not fighting with it,
mm-hmm.
and then coming home and allowing the people who God had sent to me to care for me, because I'll care for others, but I didn't want to care, you know, doing too much for me, but I had to learn to do that. And then I had to lay aside other things that I had no control over. I just had to lay them down. I couldn't think about them. And then when I would feel depressed, because they said whenever you have a heart surgery, they know that you're going to have depression. When I would feel depressed, I would tell my husband, because my husband would bring me the word of the Lord. He would tell my friends that came. I said, how do you feel? How do you handle this sadness when this gloom comes over you? What do you do? I would pray. He would pray with me. We would sit up in the middle of the night and talk. I reached out to anyone that was there to help me. And I said to my husband, I said, I want to develop a ministry for people, whether they be male or female, if they have anything like this heart surgery that I've had, that someone will be there when they get home, and that there will be someone there to care for them, not just for an hour, but all day, or someone to help facilitate the family, because when you go through something like that, it is horrendous. Now, let me tell you about tough times. So my husband was a student. You know, students don't have any money. They get loans. They get scholarships. They get grants. My husband had all of them when he was going to professional school. And we had two children. And I like to shop, and I'm not ashamed of that. I like to shop. I didn't say I like to spend money. I said I like to shop. I like to look at stuff. And I do like to spend money when it's there and it's excess. But I don't spend money when I don't have excess on stuff. I like to shop, nevertheless. But when I realized that I couldn't buy the things that I wanted because they were super expensive, I learned how to sew.
Hmm.
And I made my own clothes. And when I got fat because I was I went from a size 10 up to a size 16, 18, 20 because of challenges that I was encountering. Well, they didn't make pretty clothes for fat ladies when I was fat. So I took out my skill my mother had taught us. She made all of us take sewing when we were teenagers. We took sewing and charm, and I pulled that sewing skill out, and I began to make skirts and tops that would fit my body that were nice. And the fabric, I used to go to the cheap store and buy fabric. You just have to have an eye for pretty fabric. And if I didn't have a skirt that was beautiful like I wanted, I would always buy nice accessories and maybe a nice sweater, and you can put on a sweater or a blouse with some nice accessories, and they don't have to be expensive, and you look nice. That's on that level. And then I learned how to thrift store shop. I learned how to thrift store shop for my house. I learned how to thrift store shop for my person, because my mother was a virtuous woman, and we had a seamstress. She had major credit cards to all the major department stores, and she knew how to go to the thrift store because she had a lot of kids, and we always looked nice. And then my mother taught us how to take care of our natural man. I didn't have to go to the beauty shop to get my hair done because I knew how to do my own hair. She taught us that. I didn't have to go to the nail salon because I knew how to do my own hands and feet. What you do is when you're having tough times, you cut down on excess of things that cost you money, and you move on, and then you have to accept what is. When I say accept it, I don't mean you know you're going to stay there, but you say for now, I can't go shopping and buy stuff. I can go shopping and look to see what's out there, but I just cut back. And you can't cut back with doom and gloom. You cut back with there's going to be a better tomorrow.
Through that difficult time, you would talk to yourself saying that I'm coming out of this, that my future looks great. And so you would just say those kinds. I know you quoted scriptures over your life. And so would you say it out loud, Sandra?
I would say it out loud. I would say it inside. I'd say it to
me when I was alone. I said to people around me, my kids, my husband, my friends, and this is a prayer that I pray. Even now, I said, Father, give me provisions today for tomorrow. I say that when I pray all the time because I'm covering my bases for the future. I'm not saying give me my daily bread because I only have daily bread. I'm not using that Old Testament thing that they got manna for a day. I'm saying, Father, give me provisions today for tomorrow. And when I, as I say that, I expect provisions today for tomorrow. I never expect to have lack. I just don't. And, you know, the words of our mouth as people, particularly as women, over your children, over your husband, over your brothers and your sisters, they are powerful words. We speak powerful words. Let me just tell you something I read recently. It said, if a pious man marries a wicked woman, he will become wicked. But if a wicked man marries a pious woman, he will become pious. Do you understand the power that we have as women? And why do you think there's such an effort to devalue us, make us not love or like ourselves, give us crazy standards of beauty that very few people can achieve, and then we're supposed to accept that and go, no. We as individual women need to find out what our strong suit is, what our beauty suit is, and walk in that and not try to imitate someone else because we are unique in and of ourselves.
You know, that's so true. You know, Sandra, you mentioned acceptance and asking for help. So for some of my female listeners all over the world, how can they begin to put their past behind them? Maybe they might have experienced sexual or emotional abuse, or maybe a man left them for another woman, or maybe they were loyal to a company and now they've been downsized. How can a woman begin to put her past behind her and then just move on to the greater things that God has for her?
Well, if she's been rejected by someone she loves, like if a husband has left her or a boyfriend has left her, she can't, first of all, feel that she is the problem. She can't feel like she did something bad to make him leave her, because that's the first area of self-incrimination. She needs to say to herself, if he couldn't stay, then he was not the one. And I thank God that he got him out of my life, as the Bible said, in a green tree early on, as opposed to me letting me live with him down the road, being verbally and physically abused by him, and eventually killing myself, killing the real me. I'm glad that he's gone, because he was probably not for me if he left me. And you can't feel, well, he turned me in for a newer model. No. He didn't turn you in for a newer model. He was never with you, because if he was with you and wanted you, he wouldn't have left you. And there's nothing you can do, beg, scream, whatever, to make him love you. When you love you, you've got to learn that's sufficient. Of course you want a husband. You want a, most of them want a husband or someone to love. Of course you want that. But you can't let your wanting that so determine your value that you lose your value. And when you've been downsized on the job, I would suggest that you say, okay, I was downsized. It's what I said, ending. This has ended. Let me grieve. Let me have my anxiety, my frustration, my confusion, and my anger. Face that. Look at it. These are the emotions I'm going through. Don't have those emotions. And then say, what is it that I can do? For instance, one of my friends said her husband got laid off at one of the major car manufacturers, and he dealt with what do you do when people take care of your car? He dealt with servicing the cars.
Right, servicing.
Well, yes, but when he got downsized, when they kicked him out, he said, people still need cars to be fixed. And let's just open up my own shop, which is what he did, and he has done phenomenally well. Some women who like to cook
they take and they cook certain kinds of food, or they sow for other people, or they sow and they sell what they make to other stores, or they develop makeup lines, or they develop some skill. Some women have gone into construction. They do cleanup. You know, you got to look at what is it that you got that's in you besides what you were doing.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. When I was 30 years old, I quit my job because, first of all, I had to move with my husband to Massachusetts. And when I moved, I didn't realize that my self-worth was tied up in my ability to do my job well. So I felt at 30 years old, my life was over. And I said, oh, my God, I'm just 30. I've got young kids. And I was sitting in my house all upset about that. And I had to face the realization that you thought you had a lot of self-worth, but your self-worth was not just you being a human being, but your self-worth was tied up in what you did because you got praise for it. You got awards for it. And when I faced that reality in me, or fear, or whatever you want to call it, when I faced that, I began then to say, what else can I do? What other skills do I have that I can put to work? I became a consultant, a freelance consultant, where I taught people about their bodies because I had taught that in the hospital, women's reproductive system. So I became a consultant, and I consulted for certain sororities. I consulted for a training center in Baltimore. I'd go up and teach, you know, their nurses about the female reproductive system and all that. At any rate, that was in my hand. And then I got my friends together, and we would go. We would have prayer meeting and Bible study, and we would go pray for people in hospitals and other places because that was my gift, to organize people, to get them going, to get them active, to get them, as my mama would say, off the stool to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my skill. So you got to look at what else can I do besides what I did, and what else am I willing to learn to do?
That's very powerful, Sandra. So it sounds like that as women, we're very resourceful.
Extremely
I think that during these very difficult times, that many people are really understanding that they have the spirit of entrepreneurship on the inside of them, and that
Absolutely.
They're thinking out of the box and really being creative. So those are all great answers that you share with my listeners. And lastly, I can't believe we only have 10 minutes left, Sandra. Let's talk about a woman and her purpose or destiny. How does a woman find her purpose and destiny in life? So many people say, Constance, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just feel bored. I feel stuck. I feel stagnant. So how can women begin to discover or expand or pursue their purpose and destiny?
Well, first of all, they gotta know that it's not going to come from without. It comes from within. Whatever you feel, whatever you have a passion for, and I've heard people say, I don't have a passion. What is it that you just like to do? You know, what is it that you just like to do? Some people say, I love to serve. Then you got to figure out, how can you serve? Can you serve by, you know, going to the school saying, I'll be a mentor, I'll help teachers. What is your strong suit? What is it that you like to do that nobody else tells you you can do, but you just like to do it? You do it if you didn't even get paid for it. And a lot of people, particularly I know Christian women, they're always saying, I want to know what God wants me to do. Well, God puts in your heart desires. Like, I knew God had called me to teach because I love to instruct. And I knew that I was called into the ministry because I had such a passion for God at such an early age in my life. And I knew that. And so I prepared myself for that. I went to high school. I went to college. And when I was at home sick for years with the, you know, a chronic disease that I was attacked with, I spent my time, because I couldn't do a lot of physical activity, I spent my time studying the Bible. So today, the things that I'm telling you, I learned then.
Wow.
And I would tell mothers, I say, look, if you know God's called you into the ministry, if God called you, let's say, to the corporate world, but you've chosen, notice I said chosen, you've chosen to care for your children as a primary person,
rather than let somebody else care for them. If you've chosen that, then whatever it is you want to do, you need to spend your time, in addition to caring for your family, studying that. You just need to spend your time studying that. And I told many women that. I said, your children will not be little all their life. They're going to be little for a season when they're going to be teenagers. They're going to need you, but not like they needed you when they were 4 and 5. And you need to develop that part of you. Take classes. Get involved with people who are doing things that you like to do. You know, get involved. Don't have a very myopic world. Be willing to expand the borders of your tent and touch other people who are unlike you in many areas, maybe different cultures, different ethnic groups. I mean, when I lived in Massachusetts, we were 3 black families that lived in Massachusetts, and I got to know my neighbors who were Portuguese, who were white, and one of my neighbors taught me how to make Christmas wreaths, you know.
How interesting.
He taught me that because I reached out beyond my borders. I wasn't afraid to do that. And some people had not been exposed to ethnic people, and they had an idea that the television had painted that was not a real idea. So when they would ask me questions rather than getting offended, I would just explain to them. And I'd say, come to my house to see how we live, because my son's teacher, she came to my house and she just wanted to walk through because she had not been exposed to ethnic people.
Right.
And so I was her gateway to ethnic people. And so what I'm saying is, any passion, anything inside you that's just a little dot, try and develop that little dot, because that little dot can become a great mountain, and it can become a resource to you when you least think about it, really. And don't be afraid as a woman to venture out. Don't let the culture and don't let the traditions and customs limit you. Don't, when I say don't do it, you're not going to be popular. People are not going to embrace you because most people want you to stay in the same position they're in if they feel, you know, devalued or undervalued or marginalized. They want you to stay there too. But when you venture out, you challenge them to do something differently. And sometimes God puts that in people to challenge others, to make them not be so myopic, you know, in their life and not be so small in their thinking, but to really push out the walls and be able to embrace others.
You know, that's a powerful answer, and I'm a great example of that, Sandra, because growing up as a little girl, I used to just talk all the time, and my father said, Constance, you just talk too much, and I got so many spankings for talking. And now, then I was a counselor, and then I was a facilitator, and then I was a speaker for years, and now here I am on the radio. And so that was my gift, communication, training, and speaking was my gift. So for all of my ladies who are listening all over the world, I think what Sandra said, you know, what are you passionate about, what is your gift, and kind of what comes easily for you. Well, Sandra, we have about 7 minutes, and I do want you to have an opportunity to share about your website, your books. How can people reach you? Share with our listeners your website, your seminars. Are you available to go and speak to different organizations, your phone numbers and email addresses?
Okay, the website will be clementsfamilyministry.org or .com. That's one way you can access us. You can go to the Community of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, that's another way, or youricm.org. Those are 3 websites you can go to access us or to access me. And my phone number is S-A for Sandra, C-H for Child, that's my middle initial, my maiden name, C-L for Clemens at AOL.com. You can email me there. And I'm on Facebook as well. Excuse me. And we have several.
So are you available, Sandra, to go and speak to different organizations and to share with possible women's groups or other groups who may be interested in having you to come and speak with them?
I am very available for that. In fact, that is my passion. That is one of my primary passions, as you can tell.
Well, you know, I'm going to encourage all of you listening, if you have a conference coming up and you're looking for a dynamic speaker, Sandra Clemens is the woman for you. I mean, you've heard all of the great information that she has shared tonight, and I'm just really going to encourage you to go to her website, and that's clementsfamilyministry.com or org, and they can reach you there. Is that right, Sandra?
They can reach me there. And also, my products are there. The books that my husband and I have written are there. We've written books. Yeah, we've written a total of 10 books. But the book, her name is Mother. I would exhort any young mother to get that book because I've gotten such positive reviews. And you can get it on Amazon.com as well. Her Name is Mother by Sandra Clements. And then you can get my other book, the other book, and he gave them from my website, and the other books he's written.
Well, you know, I've read Her Name is Mother, and this is a great book, just like Sandra said, for young mothers and for anybody. It just has great information. It's very practical, and you can just take it and really begin to implement it into your life. And the book that she and Dr. Kirby Clements co-authored together, and he gave them, The Biblical Design for Man and Woman Co-Laboring in Ministry and Life. And she is certainly a great example of that. Sandra, we have about 3 minutes, and I just want you to end the show tonight about women and their relationship with God. How would you summarize that in 3 minutes?
Well, excuse me, what I would say is know that God is not a man, that God is spirit, and that you don't need anyone to go to God for you. You don't need an earthly mediator. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ. He paved the way for us to be able to go direct to God and to talk to God. So as a woman, you just begin to talk to God like you would talk to your friend, your husband, your boyfriend, your mother, your sister. And know that God, trust and believe that God is hearing you. And expect God to answer, because sometimes we talk so much we don't give God a chance to speak back to us. But he will give us impressions in our mind and in our hearts. And write those impressions down, because you spoke to God, he's going to speak back to you. Read your Bible, because we're Christian. Read your Bible, because God will speak to you through your Bible. And know that God is your friend, that God has no controversy with you, and that God loves you, because he calls us the blessed and the beloved. And God says that his thoughts toward us are good, that we may have a predictable end. You can't get any better than that when it comes to God. And God doesn't see us as his second thought. God sees us as his only thought and his only love. That's how I would tell women to approach God. You don't need to go ask anybody to talk to God for you. You can talk to God for yourself.
Sandra Clements, you are one powerful woman of God. And I know that you're probably oblivious to the women all over the world whose lives are going to be changed just by listening to this broadcast tonight. And I'm so grateful that our paths did cross again, and that you really chose to come on the show tonight. You have certainly made me think very differently about who I am as a woman, and I know that my listeners, male and female, will be changed by what you shared tonight, and I personally just want to thank you for that.
Well, you're more than welcome, and I just want to bless both the men and the women, because we're not trying to separate the man and the woman. We're trying to show you how we can work together as one, because that was the intent of God in the garden, was that the man and the woman function together as one, respecting, honoring, preferring, and loving one another.
That is so true. Well, thank you so much, Sandra. You and I will be talking, and God bless you.
Thank you, and you have a safe and wonderful trip.
I will. Well, everybody, this is Constance Arnold once again thanking you for joining me with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Remember, I am on every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for my great listeners on the West Coast, that's 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, you can go to my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And I just want to thank you for joining me. And remember that when you change what you think and you change what you believe, then you change what will manifest in your life. God bless you and have a great week.